is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hey guys, how do you feel about getting some free showtime?
Let's cut to the chase, Sean. Go to boardwalkaudio.com/showtime. You can get a week of free showtime.
You get a week of free showtime.
And what? That's good. Where stuff. It? It's on boardwalkaudio.com/showtime.
Oh, my gosh.
You can get a free week of it.
And then after that, it's only $8.99 a month.
I know. And they've got all the... they've got The Shy. I want to see that show.
Oh, yeah. The Shy. They have Smilf.
That's supposed to be amazing.
Supposed to be amazing.
You can tell we need to use this deal because we need to watch Showtime.
Mm-hmm. And after that, it's only $8.99 a month, which
yeah,
is cheaper than Netflix.
Yeah, so...
And HBO.
And combined. I think Hulu. Oh.
It's cheaper than all of them. How do they do that?
It's pretty amazing. They've got all the Rocky movies, which is what I want to watch.
Yeah, they have Bad Moms on right now.
They have Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead, which, you know, even though the name is a little spelt weird.
I know, spelt just totally wrong. No G's or H's in
no
that,
G's or
Sean.
H's in there. Let's make it... Well, there's one H, I guess.
Yeah, but a normal one.
Also, Death Becomes Her is on there, too.
Oh, my God. I would love to have a Death Becomes Her party to watch that.
Oh, it'd be fun. We could drink red wine and
eat frosting.
Eat frosting.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah. All right, guys. So go to boardwalkaudio.com/showtime to get your free 7-day.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Bye.
I just drink wine.
Is it recording?
It is. We're going.
Oh, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the wine situation,
everybody.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Ellen.
We're here in this new. We're in a different place.
We're in a new location. First time ever.
Our guest is hosting us. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
This is the wine situation where we take people's whiny wines and pair them with delicious liquid wines.
That's right. We take your gripes and we pair them with grapes.
Grapes, yes, yes. I was like, wait, is that the right order? Yes,
yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah, griping and then graping.
That's Sean Buchholz. He's officially the Wine Whisperer.
Officially
that's
the
that's
wine
a
whisperer,
pin.
Yeah.
I gave you a pin for the Wine Whisperer.
It's my SAG name, guys.
The Wine Whisperer. He looks into your soul and pulls out more grapes.
More grapes. Oh, my
fermented
God.
Grapes. He knows what you want to drink, and he helped up in Barcovel, and he's got an intro pin from the Court Masters.
I do. Ellen also has a pin, but she has another sexy pin from the W Sets.
It's so sexy because there's a lady
there's
on it.
There's a lady on it.
Yeah.
A sexy lady on that pin.
Yeah.
So she's taking her test. She's Mademoiselle Palette,
that
I believe.
Is me, Mademoiselle Palette.
I have a lot of names for you.
I'll take them all. I'm equal opportunity for nicknames.
Gothlord Princess.
Ooh. Gothlord Princess. That's a
yeah.
new one.
I just
picture you with this like poster board at home of every like cute name. Yeah. You come and you're like, you're used it this week, cross off.
I have like a big whiteboard just for names.
Tracking
for
it.
Yeah. You know, I wake up. It's kind of like a dream board, but it's just nicknames for you.
I want to see this next time.
And there's like a bunch of yarn and string connecting different yeah. names and pictures and places.
Does
it's not
Brennan
creepy
know
at all.
About
it's
this?
Totally not
this
creepy.
Is weird.
Yeah.
I would be just worried if I lived with you.
Shelby just brings home clues.
Oh, no. That was the dog running by my house.
That was her.
Should we get into our next segment?
Grape of Thrones.
We just have to switch off which it's called.
We're never going to decide if it's Grape of Thrones or Grape of the Week.
It's both.
Yeah.
Melon de Bourgogne. AKA, because you'll never see a bottle labeled like that. Sean, what do you call...
Sometimes. If they
really?
Grow it, if they grow it domestically, they'll write Melon de Bourgogne on it.
Oh.
Yeah. But
okay.
Usually you'll see it as Muscadet.
Muscadet.
Commonly confused with Muscat.
Yes, we've learned this from a couple different guests now.
Yes.
That, I mean, they sound so close.
Yeah.
I mean,
it looks very similar, but they are different things because
yeah.
one is a place and the other is a grape.
Yeah. Muscat's yeah. the grape. Muscadet is the place mm-hmm. where they grow the Melon de Bourgogne. It's in the Loire Valley.
Ooh, la, la,
it is
la,
right
la,
by
la.
The right by the sea in the Loire Valley. It gets that maritime climate. They have mm-hmm. a variety of soils. Do you know how it got its name?
No.
So in, let's see, 1709, there was horrible
year,
frost. In Muscadet and killed off a lot of Loire Valley grapes, and the monks hanging out down in Burgundy brought that grape up because it's very frost resistant and those nice monks came and helped replant, and so it's the Melon de Bourgogne is like the from Bourgogne is the French word for Burgundy, so.
So it's like a melon from Burgundy?
Yes, it's a melon from Burgundy.
We bring you a melon from Burgundy. We are monks.
And it's very interesting because also later on, they kicked that grape out of Burgundy, much like they
did right.
Gamay.
Yeah, well, I knew that. Because
Burgundy's such a snob. They're like Chardonnay and Pinot Noir only. Get out Gamay. Get out Melon de Bourgogne. So it's the leftovers. It's the sloppy seconds from
sloppy
Burgundy.
Seconds.
But I think it's a delicious wine, and it does very well. And it's very crisp and briny. And
it goes well with seafood. It is like the most seafood wine you could order.
Yeah, you just got to, especially because they say what grows go with the foods of the region.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's right by the sea, so go get some seafood.
People that live by the sea tend to eat a lot of seafood, guys, and this wine really goes well with that.
It's also a wine that has a lot of, they do this thing called Surly.
Ooh.
Your dead yeast cells. They let it lie on those to give it a little more body, a little more texture.
Mm-hmm. Some of them actually can get a little like rounder mouthfeely from that.
Yeah, and a little spritzy too, because of the hanging out on their lees all
that's
winter,
right.
As one does. That's what we do in LA.
That's what we do.
We hang out on our lees.
So that's Melon de Bourgogne.
Muscadet,
your Grape of Thrones.
Grape of the Week. Let's get our guest here. He's got his own awesome podcast.
I've been
podcast.
Here the whole time.
Joel
Spain! I've been carrying you. Hi, guys.
You were just behind that curtain. Is that why that curtain's in the middle of the room?
Yeah. It freaks everybody out.
It's so freaking.
It's just my thing.
Joel is an amazing UCB performer. He's been on Big Little Lies. He's fresh off the boat. Heathers, the upcoming Heathers. Mm-hmm. He's got his own podcast. He's on Mouth Feelings, and he has a new podcast coming out soon called This
Particular Album is very, very important to me.
And I'm excited for that to come out because I like music.
You've got albums that are very, very important to you, probably.
Yeah. We all do.
We should hope so.
But let's hear, we can get your whiny wine, so we can get into the liquid
wines.
Yeah. that one.
this is the thing that bugs me, right? This is the,
yeah.
Yes. Okay, so I don't like it, and this, I'm going to sound, there's some people who know me will not be shocked by how much of a grumpy person I sound like, but I, by the end of this, everyone will know I'm kind of grumpy. I do not like it if I'm in some sort of customer service situation, whether it's a bank or a coffee shop or a grocery store checkout lane, when they try to get to know me or they ask me, what do you got going on today? Or they make a comment about what I'm buying.
No, that's awful.
Or if I ask for quarters, they say something like, laundry day, huh? And I don't know. We can talk about why,
yeah.
But the context is because I've worked as a server before, I've worked at a coffee shop before, I do not expect, they don't need to do anything to me to make me feel welcome.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, I know that there's a chance that they're having a rough day. There's a chance that they don't want to be there. So I try to not be a harsh person with them. I try. But I'm at a kind of usually a pretty good disposition when I'm at these places. But when they ask a question that like that, it's like the blood leaves my face.
Yeah.
And they probably read that I am in the worst hell. Because I do not want to, there's something about that I feels like a violation.
Yeah. I should be able to have my own schedule without reciting it to everybody
else. Yes, I don't need to give you anything. And maybe part of it is also that I don't really think that they care.
Yeah.
It's just
transactional.
Yes. And there's a coffee shop. I don't want to name it. I love the coffee shop. It's great. But I feel like that's part of their MO. They're told to do this.
Oh.
What have you got going on today? And I don't want to tell anybody anything. And I don't think I want to be the person that feels so comfortable about saying this is what my thing is.
You should not. I have so many thoughts on this. But let's
cheers. So we can start
assuage your wines and explain. It's not corked. Yeah,
not corked. We checked it.
Mm.
So good. Wow. It's good. It's a great wine.
It's a great wine. So we wanted a wine that we were like, we should go with a wine from someone who no one would dare ask these questions of. So we were like, we need a celebrity wine, but a good celebrity wine.
Oh, great.
Miraval, it's got a really interesting history. The Chateau in Provence, it's a French wine, but it happens to be co-owned, or the jury's out on whether they still co-own it, being as they're divorcing, but Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's bought this, like, bought what, the, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
Yeah, the website still says it's their summer home. But the wine is actually, I've had it multiple times, and I'm always like, this is damn good wine.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, we wanted a wine that nobody would dare question.
Right. A none of your business wine.
Yeah, a none of your business
wine.
Miss
Jolie, what do you got going on today? Picking up kids.
So would you call this a rosé?
This is a rosé.
This is a rosé.
Yeah.
Provence rosé.
Oh, we should have said that.
From southern France.
And it feels like the color is maybe lighter than the normal, or maybe than the shitty rosé that I've had in my past.
Rosé comes in all shades. Yeah.
Okay.
Typically, a lot of like Provence rosé will be on the lighter side like
okay.
this.
Okay, great.
So it's kind of par for the course in that respect.
Okay.
But it's like beautifully light and pink and
love it.
Delicious.
Means it spent a little less time on the skins. This one is a, Cinsault, Grenache, and Roule. And Syrah. So,
those are the grapes that are...
Those are the grapes,
in this, yeah.
The primary grapes down there are like Cinsault and Grenache. Like, those are the main kind of grapes. But the Syrah is a little... Probably the smallest amount, I would argue.
In Provence.
Mm-hmm. And then Roule is a small, weird, obscure grape, too.
Yeah. Okay. They can use a lot of varieties down there, though.
Yeah.
They've got, like, a weird hodgepodge, because I think it used to be... Provence used to be, like, owned by Sardinia or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, they brought all sorts of different stuff there.
That's weird.
All different stuff.
I used to have a book.
Wine
the
book?
Provence, the Beautiful Cookbook.
Oh. Ooh. Do you like to cook?
I do.
That would explain mouth feelings.
Yeah. I like to eat. But I worked with, and when I lived in Minneapolis, I was a part of a theater company that had formed in Paris. There were two French artistic directors and two American artistic directors who all spoke French. So I was, and there in the theater, there was also, they made sure that there was a kitchen. And everyone loved to cook and talk about food and drink. It was lovely.
How cool
that
is
sounds
that?
Great.
Yeah. I know.
It's great.
It's like a firehouse, only you're putting on plays.
Yeah.
Instead of putting out fires.
Yeah, and quite often we would come back from the, let's see, we would have Mondays off. Mondays would be dark. And then we'd see each other on Tuesday and in the for whatever rehearsal or meeting. And there'd be a little bit of competition as to who cooked what on their day off.
Oh.
Like, what'd you do? Like, well, I, you know, made a cassoulet or whatever it is. It'd be like, damn. We'd have a little, it'd be a little competitive in that way. Or
that's
we'd
awesome.
Love to talk about that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
And my whole experience with rosé for the first time was traveling to Corsica, which...
Oh.
And I didn't know that it was a thing. It was still existing in my mind as white or whatever that sort of...
We had a Corsican rosé on the Cassie Jerkins episode.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
We did,
yeah? Yeah, and it was a deeper color, so you're not
okay.
off track.
Yeah.
That was your first rosé.
Yeah, it was, and I spent like 4 days there and drank a lot of rosé, and it was all wonderful.
It's, I'm a fan. I'm very happy about the renaissance of rosé, or the acceptance of it when people realized it's not white Zinfandel.
I know. We're like, come on, people. Get on board here.
There's delicious things waiting to be sipped upon.
So no one would dare ask this wine, like, huh? Having a party tonight?
Yeah. Laundry day wine?
Oh, you're single,
How's that
huh?
divorce going?
I had someone at Trader Joe's say that to me. They're like, oh, snacks, huh?
Oh.
I'm like...
I hate it. Okay, does anyone else hate it when sometimes I'll be buying things and it'll be I hate it when people comment on the price of something, like, oh, this is pricey, because then I feel guilty that I'm buying it. I hate that so much.
Yeah, that violates the transaction element, which is should be cold, unemotional, unemotional, and swift.
Now, will you be a self-checkout guy? Will you go to the self-checkout area?
If there's opportunity for that, and yes. I think maybe because of that, because I do prefer... I don't think I have, like, I have any sort of social anxiety, it simmers really low.
Yeah.
So I can compensate, or I can handle it okay.
Yeah, you can play ball.
I can play ball.
Yeah.
If there's ball to be played.
Yeah. You can catch.
I can catch. I can throw. Get out of there as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But if there's,
I think
I do prefer the self-checkout if there's an option like that.
So you're happy when every parking garage got rid of human beings and put in little pay in advance.
Yeah, my philosophy is ruining America and taking away jobs.
Automation.
But on the flip side, if someone nails that interaction, is friendly, and I think they're a hero. Yeah. I do reciprocate in my brain, like, way to go, buddy. Yeah. That was perfect.
Yeah, when you have someone at a restaurant who just is like the perfect amount of in and out, engagement and like and interested and not, and
yes,
it's a beautiful thing.
Did you, if you guys worked, you guys are sommeliers, right? Or do you guys operate in that?
Yeah.
I've worked in restaurants. I don't currently.
Yeah.
I helped open a bar, Covell.
Oh, yeah.
And I still work there two nights a week.
Oh, maybe that's where I've seen you recently,
yeah.
I think.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
It's where everybody knows it. Everyone.
Also, Heather's.
It's the best.
Because I worked on Heather's, too. I know
did
those
you?
Guys, yeah. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Because we don't want to bore you guys at home with.
But that brings me up to
time.
The big anxiety I have with people asking me questions. Because
yeah.
I was curious how much of this plays in for you, because I'm like a person who doesn't have a schedule, a normal schedule,
yeah.
and running around doing the actor and writer and
yes.
wine person thing. And sometimes when they ask me what you have going on today, and if I don't, I'm like, oh, I'm a failure as a human
yeah.
being.
It's like
yeah.
your
especially
parents
in
asking you.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they turn into your mom or dad. And they go, what are you doing today?
Yeah.
Well, I have lots of work to do, really.
Well, actually.
I have to finish editing a podcast and... there's a meeting and an audition.
I mean, like, to me, it's really hard to judge when people want to engage or when
right.
they don't want to engage.
Yeah.
And for me, I always struggle with people that really want to engage, and I'm kind of just don't really want to as a bartender.
Yeah.
I have to, like, dig deep and try and think of some creative way to engage with them because they're sitting in a bar by themselves, and they probably want a little bit of communication.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
Even if they don't want it, they kind of want
it. They kind of want
they
it.
They kind of want
they
it.
They kind of, if they want the ability to say, I don't want communication right now. I think that satisfies that communication level. they would like they're like daring you to talk to them because
yeah.
that's at least an interaction and that's all they need.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I sat reading books at Covell by myself so much and Sean just kept bugging me.
I know.
What you reading now?
Yeah. How many chapters you got? How many chapters you got left? Yeah.
What's happening now in the story?
Are you actually reading that or are you just trying to look smart?
Yeah. Did you arrive at the cafe yet? Because that's a really good chapter. You know those great moments and plots when somebody arrives at a cafe.
Oh yeah, that's always when it gets hot.
Yeah,
really hot. Page turning.
I think Wells Fargo has that in their new latest MO, or at least I started to notice it all of a sudden. The interest in what is happening with you, because I think they're desperate for people to walk into their banks.
Well, those crazy new lobbies they have that are like lounges.
Yes. And there's, like, people stationed around as if they're activities director on, like, the Love Boat. They're like, hello, welcome to the bank. How can I point you? Can I point you where the ping pong table is
yeah.
or
we
whatever?
We have a full day of activities. We have the clown coming at 2, and then we have hot dogs at
yeah.
3:30.
And you can stash your kids over here for a couple of hours. It'll be fine.
There's a ball pen.
Yeah.
They're just desperate for people to bank in person, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like a waste of the amount of, like, a waste. It's, again, me looking for automation. More automation.
Yeah.
Controversial position here,
guys. I can
deposit
this check on my phone, thank you.
Actually, I went into the bank. So I'm like, oh, it'll be quicker because I had some actual, like, banking things, like,
yeah.
different things to do.
Yeah.
It took 3 times as long. And she's like, write your account number across the top and your address. I'm like, I never have to do that when I go to the ATM. I mean, I'll do it. I was like, I felt bad, actually, because she was like, oh, here, I'll give you your number. I'm like, I don't have it memorized.
Yeah.
It just the whole thing took way longer than just going to the ATM.
Yeah, and maybe this is the Orwellian society. I'm becoming more and more an advocate of Orwellian society, which I don't want, but I want more automation. And also... if you're an actor, the amount of forms you have to fill out on the first day of work is and
God.
Put your address over and over
Why?
And over again. And since we don't write that much anymore, my penmanship has just been destroyed over years.
Yeah.
That I wish – there are moments when I wish that I had a little microchip in me.
I feel like SAG –
where they could just kind of go zip and I'm like, great.
Boop. I also feel like SAG should have figured it out. Like they should have
totally.
Some – why can't we fill out all our W-2s and stuff like that on –
Once.
On their site, and when we get a job, then it's there.
Yes, yes, yes.
And also, end of the year is always so fun. Like, it takes, you know.
Oh.
32 W-2s. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the tax day. Oh, my gosh.
CPA is like, this is fun.
Yeah. Oh, great. You made $1.15 from this company.
Yeah.
What a waste of a letter.
I'm so glad they generated an entire W-2 for that. So you could get that 7 cents back.
Yeah.
Or not.
Or not, yeah.
You can keep it.
Now, I will walk into a bank to get a roll at quarters.
Yeah. Well,
because my Vons is very stingy about them, because you're saying Vons at the store asking for quarters.
Yeah. What is very stingy about them?
Vons. The Vons near me.
Ah. Well, now this Albertsons, they can't wait to give me quarters.
Really? I know. I got to change where I'm shopping.
It might be because they're also desperate for customers to treat it as if it's a place that is friendly. That you can ask, but when they start asking me if it's laundry day, it's like red to a bull. I'm dare you?
What are you insinuating? Do I smell?
What are you insinuating? That I don't have my own? Yes, I don't have my own washer and dryer.
Oh, God.
That, I think, is part of it, is that I don't want to, sort of like you, it's like I don't want to tell you that I have nothing going on today. I don't want to tell you that I share a washer dryer. And this now my washer and dryer. This is riveting stuff for your listeners. This
I live for washer and dryer stories. I brought up the quarters again. Okay, I
can we get back to washer and dryer? Quarters.
But there's an app. I don't know if you guys have our washer and dryer now is connected to an app where you can you flip up and it automatically takes. So I put money. Into
oh my
this
god
account.
I wish mine had that, because getting quarters gives me serious anxiety.
Yes. And now I don't have to get quarters anymore because I just
that's
flip
fantastic
up and, yeah
hey with an app
hey, with I an gotta app. Get tell my building what's up
again more automation, more automation less human contact chips in our neck
chips in our neck. You just everything gets scanned and just connected to your bank account.
Oh, totally.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Or everything should just be like Gelson's and have a wine bar, and then people will just come in and go. I mean, I still haven't gone to the Gelson's wine bar, but I hear this is a thing. Gelson's is a grocery store here in LA that's very fancy.
Yes, imagine you haven't been there, you haven't enjoyed their wine yet, or you haven't been to the bar.
I have been to Gelson's, I've not been to the wine bar.
Okay, for listeners,
but
imagine
I've been to Whole Foods wine bar.
Oh, yeah?
It's probably similar.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So imagine the bright lights. Take a regular bar and then
turn up the light.
And then where there's really good lighting. Yeah. Like Covell keeps it dark. That is
I mean,
a
that's
dark.
Like 90% of the job of a bar.
Is yeah. Is
keep it dark.
Keep it dark.
Keep it dark.
And have the right level of music.
Yep.
Okay, so imagine a bar and then take a Klieg lights or the worst fluorescent lights and have them on 10. Mm-hmm. And that is the experience, I think, of having a drink there. At
I'm so taking a first date there. Just shine those unflattering lights
and,
on
and
me.
Totally. Like, I want you to see me at my worst.
While I'm trying to get someone to go pick up my groceries for me.
Yeah.
And,
deep wrinkles, all my blotches, all my dark circles, bring it in.
Yeah. You like this? You want more of this?
What do you think of that smooth Muzak remix of Billy Ocean's?
Yeah. Want me to play it again? I think they've got a Sade mashup coming up.
Oh, wait. Oh, they're bringing me my bag of groceries they brought. Oh, wait. Yeah, just let me shove the tampons to the bottom of the head.
Oh, that a cashier has a follow-up question to what he asked me the other day when I told him that I was going to the bank. Are there other celebrity vintners, or is that the word? Is that the vineyards?
Winemakers
that are that
I mean,
are
Coppola, a very famous.
Yeah.
One.
Oh, of course. Yes, that was the. Yeah, he was the game changer for that.
There's Skinny Girl.
There's all the housewives.
Oh
not
no!
All the housewives seem to have wines.
Do, yeah. Oh yeah. Have you guys discussed that on?
We have. Yeah.
Are they? They're pretty good though.
No.
But
we tasted their Cosmo mix and it was god awful.
It's a Cosmo mix.
They do like these like
of course
it's terrible
like low alcohol
it's,
mix it,
yeah skinny
thing.
Girl it's designed towards women like we just want these diet
yeah
we know you're gonna drink so
don't be fat
fat at the same time
be a skinny girl. Oh girl you're skinny drink this
right
have this
disgusting.
Yeah there's also let's see I'm trying to think of celebrity. Well Drew Barrymore started making wine.
Oh, right.
I think. I haven't tried it. I feel like I'm always hearing of like race car drivers like having but usually their name is oh wait
NBA basketball
Guy Fieri
players.
Guy Fieri
his wine was delicious.
Oh that's
Hunt and Ride it was great.
It makes me
it
feel good. I mean I have complex well, not complex opinions about him, but that he occupies a certain arena of cuisine for sure and taste.
It's delicious.
But I also like hearing that he could. I think he's a good chef. There's no doubt in my mind that he can do. He can walk the walk, and I love hearing that he has a really good wine.
Yeah, it was. We got it for Nick Cordry. Was that
him? Yeah, Nick Cordry,
who
did
loves
him,
and that was his wine. He went to complain about people who hate Guy Fieri. So
great.
Yeah. So we found his wine.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Did you ever go to his restaurant in New York?
No, but there was that.
The notorious restaurant.
Yeah, those comedians that made the joke menu.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, you should. Nate pulled it up when we had him on, but it was like. It was like chips.
With top. Okra foam?
Yeah, okra foam topped with like Bud Light and then sweat from a t-shirt after a Motley Crue show.
Like, so specific.
It was just like amazing, hilariously hilarious descriptions.
On brand, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about the celebrity wines, do we want to play What's in the Glass? Just so people know what
play a little
we're
What's in the Glass?
Drinking, maybe? I don't know. I mean, we don't have to.
I mean, we can. It's just like, I feel like this rosé is pretty straightforward.
It's a pretty basic one, yeah.
Oh, is this talking about what's...
Yeah, like the smells you get.
Oh, yeah.
Look of it.
It's a light-bodied
We talked about the look.
Yeah. And I guess it is striking to me because I haven't ventured into rosé as much as I didn't know that they come in all varieties. That's really
Nice. It has to do with how long it sits on the skins or just the intensity of color of the grape they make it from.
I was reading something that Joe Bastianich said about this wine.
What
he said it's Hello Kitty pink.
I don't know that I agree with that.
I don't know if I agree with that either.
I feel Hello
Kitty is
more
Is that a dig, do you think?
I don't know. No? I love Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty has like
maybe
good
that would
rep,
make
but...
me want to drink that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would drink it if she made it.
Yeah, yeah, it was patronizing, I guess, is what
I was
wondering.
Yeah, probably.
It probably was a backhanded thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I was always surprised every time I've had Miraval. I'm like, oh, this is quite, it's a very tasty, it's very balanced. It's a little saline, which I really like. It has like almost like sea notes to it and sort of light peaches. And
I do get that macerated strawberry thing.
Yeah, a little strawberry. It's very dry. It's pretty high acid. I'm guessing not too high in alcohol. What, like 11% or something?
It's probably 12.
11.5? I'm always curious.
13%.
Holy fuck, I'm off.
People like
I'm never
to drink.
Gonna pass my next test.
All you have to do, I mean, you're underbidding, like in Price is Right. You don't want to overbid.
Don't overbid the alcohol.
Right.
Come on.
I'm gonna pitch 0% for this.
I was going on where I felt the burn.
1%.
1%.
1%.
Yeah.
God, everyone hates you, man.
Everybody hates you.
But yeah, we do the thing. We put our noses in and we're like,
take a
sip. This is a very light, peachy, strawberry.
Yeah, I feel the fruity.
The fruity vibe.
The fruity vibe. And so, but does that contradict dry or no?
No. Fruit, that's something actually that's interesting is a lot of people will describe a wine as sweet if it's very fruit forward when there is no residual sugar in the wine, but the taste of fruit makes you think sweet.
Right.
So.
Gotcha. Okay. And the opposite of dry is sweet.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because
sweet
is more of a texture when you're talking about wine.
Oh, okay.
Because if there's a lot of sugar, it's usually like a heavier, more viscous liquid.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Now I understand.
So, and it'll taste like
Do they
sugar.
Sometimes have rosés at Covell?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. We usually always have rosé.
Yeah.
And LA is kind of a rosé all day kind of city.
Yeah.
Like you could drink rosé all year here.
Okay.
It's usually warm.
People think of it as summertime wine. Although I'm obsessed with rosés from Tavel, which is in the southern Rhone, and they make fuller, more dark dark rosés. Yeah, and those are my favorites. And those are, I think of those as like wintertime rosés, like the fuller, richer.
Are they, do rosés have the same range in price as any other wine? You can get like a really, or do they ceiling out at?
They're going to ceiling out sooner, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can definitely find some pricier ones.
Yeah.
I mean,
close by to Provence, there's, the best cru appellation in Provence is Bandol.
Oh, yeah, Bandol will be expensive.
So, like, Tempier Bandol Rosé will probably run you $45 to $60.
Okay.
Which is kind of expensive for a bottle of rosé.
Yeah.
But
for
it's
something
higher.
But I've seen Chardonnays that are... I mean, the thing that really drives price up a lot of times for grapes, besides name or if it's just, like, a tiny region that's famous, is the use of oak, which, like, rosés and white wine don't see as much, but, like, the use... Oak is, like, the most expensive part of the process when they use new...
Oh,
yeah,
barrels.
Oak barrels are, what, like, $5,000
Yeah, they're super expensive.
Wow.
It's crazy. So, yeah, a lot of the Cabernets and stuff in Napa, they're using all this new oak. And
you're paying
just,
for the oak.
You're paying for oak.
You got to build in that oak price.
Yeah.
lot for oak. So yeah, I'll stick with my
rosé.
Yeah,
when you're at that's the attitude you give to the bartender. It's like, okay, how much of this money's going to the oak?
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's your
the
like
lamest customer ever.
So you're out with someone, straight. You don't want them to know you're skimping on the like wine budget, so you just wink at the somm and you're like, I'd like something that hasn't seen a lot of oak. Wink, wink, wink.
Oh, I get it, sir. You're cheap.
Yeah. I can read between the lines. Cheap.
Cheap. I do like this.
Yeah, I think it's very good. They make one other, or well, actually, I think they make a few different. I think they make a white, and I think they might make a different rosé, and they make a red. Miraval does.
Oh, really? I've not had.
The other pink one is the Whispering Angel, which I've never tried.
I would imagine now for both of them to be hands-on would be very awkward, but are they hands-on?
I don't think so.
Just investors. So, yeah.
Well, Miraval, the chateau has existed for a long time. I was reading like the history of it. Built at the foot of Via Aurelia, a route built in 3 BC for Roman expansion. It wasn't built then, but apparently that's
in
the site.
Just 3 years. Jesus will be.
Oh, God.
Y'all feel something in the air?
Yeah.
A storm coming?
Something's happening. It's weird that it's only...
Yeah.
It's weird that our years are going backwards.
And why is it -3? Why is this year -3?
Can't wait till next year when it's 2.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Something's happening.
But at some point, it hosted monks in the French court. Like, it's listed as some sort of historic site. And then in 1970, cut to 1970...
Our year one.
That's when we started counting years.
Yeah. Oh, pre-Carol King? Or post-Carol King?
Oh, God. Pre-CK. Yeah, jazz pianist, actually, speaking of music.
Oh, wow.
Jacques Lussier bought it, and it hosted Pink Floyd, Sade, the Cranberries, the Gypsy Kings.
Whoa.
And then it became the summer residence of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. But yeah, it has like musicians were hanging out there. So it's got a little interesting history behind it, which I thought was cool. Like
Bohemian.
Totally.
All that, yeah.
I had total doubts on this wine because I tend to doubt grocery store wines. But I mean, this is a higher price point of a grocery store wine, but it's one that the first time I tried it, I was like, oh, this is...
You wanted to hate it in a way.
Yeah.
I wanted to hate it.
Yeah.
I'm a Brad Pitt fan. He's from Missouri, and he's grown as an actor. Angelina, I'm a fan of her as a person, but she concerns me.
She concerns you? Why?
Yeah, I got some concerns.
Yeah,
you I mean,
what have you got going on today? What are your concerns with
Angelina? Oh, no. Get personal. I mean, I think she has an eating disorder, but I'm, like, worried about her. I'm like, she just seems unhealthy. She doesn't look well.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to...
Angelina, we're thinking about you.
I was on the... This is such a humble brag, but I was on the lot of 20th, but for an audition for something tiny. That's the humble part of the
20th Century Fox? Wait, which one is...
Inconsequential.
Yeah. Is that the one in Culver that you have to walk 5 million miles to?
Near
Pico?
Yes.
Or Century City,
Century City, yeah.
Yeah, yes. That lot.
And now it's harder because they're...
They make you park, like, literally a mile away.
You have a... Yeah, you need a Sherpa to get...
Yeah.
And I was just I had some time to kill, so I just hung out and walked around, went to the cafe, and... Boom, there was Angelina Jolie with a few kids. And I was in person stunned. Just how...
Is she radiant?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, like it was like the building sort of parted for her. Because it was... And it was also extra interesting or potent because she wasn't walking like a presence. She was just walking as a... like a young mom, and it didn't subtract anything from her presence. It's like her eyes were electric or something like that. It was just...
You couldn't look away.
And I was... I don't know how I reacted. Like, I was just like... Probably I stood there and stared for just a moment.
You're like, how's your day?
Yeah. How's your day going?
Yeah.
What do you got going on today?
What do you mean?
Oh, laundry day, huh?
Laundry day, huh? Oh, you like potato salad? Me too.
Yeah, right. Hey, stuff. Snack. Was it snacks? Snacks.
Oh, yeah, snacks.
Hey, kids.
Oh, look at all those snacks. Hey, kids. Hey, you have kids with
kids,
you.
Right? Am I right?
And how many are you up to now?
Yeah.
People just become... I think they just lose all words when they see
totally.
Her.
Totally.
They're like... Bleh,
probably.
Have you ever, like, sounded like a complete idiot in front of a celebrity or embarrassed yourself or
yeah
I ran.
The end.
No follow up.
I have Brad Pitt story.
Do you really?
Well, my first day of work on anything in LA when I first moved here is they needed people who danced to be extras for Benjamin Button.
Oh.
And yeah, it was the first job. It was literally like a month after I moved here. And I mean, I was technically a featured extra, but I got a SAG voucher like
great.
My first day of work. And then I never got another one.
You're like, Hollywood's easy.
Yeah, right. No, but I got to work on this scene. With Cate Blanchett and Brad Pitt all day and literally brushing by him. And at one point I didn't understand. I was still learning this whole like back to one thing, and they were splitting the scene up for one of the takes, which, by the way, Fincher takes every shot like 50 times. It's insane.
Yes, I've heard stories.
It's nuts. Yeah.
And I've heard he glues down all the props too. I'm serious.
Wow.
Because he doesn't want actors to mess with the props.
Oh, wow. Really?
Because everything is perfectly designed.
I didn't have any props for this.
Mr. Fincher, sorry. Why are you holding a glue gun? people for this.
They did insist on seeing like pictures of you dancing, even just if you're playing a dancer extra who's not even dancing.
Mm.
So he's meticulous. But yeah, at some point I was confused where I was going and my literally like elbowing by Brad Pitt and they like had to stop and I was like, and didn't know where I was supposed to walk to. And he goes, I think you're okay. I'm like, yes. And he kept needing lip balm the whole time.
Oh, that's nice.
Adorable. That's
you guys
my Brad
sharing
Pitt story.
Lip balm?
No, he kept needing lip balm.
Oh, needing lip balm.
His lips
I was
were
like,
very
I heard that too. I was like, great.
No. Do that. It was a big makeout scene with him and Cate Blanchett. That's my code for sharing the lip balm.
Yeah.
No, that was my memory
of
the
day. Your lips look dry. Dab.
But I was impressed watching him work because I had never had a big opinion of him one or way or another as an actor, but I was impressed watching him work the whole day, how much heart he seemed to be putting into a really simple scene. So
yeah, I think that's I always think about that with Tom Cruise, who like is there's no doubt his star power and his charisma, and he's made some bad movies. He's made some strong movies.
He's
really
made
good.
Some bad life choices.
He's made some and we only know him through that. Really,
yeah.
But I also know that he works so hard at his job. Like he does commit. Like it is important to him.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't phone anything in. And I remember hearing that he would run to set from his trailer.
Oh, wow.
Which was like, not that it was extra exercise, or he wanted to get there quickly because he's always a producer on every film he does anyway. Yeah. So he's got his eye on that. But I do know, and I always like hearing that he cares. Like, they care.
Yeah. And one more thing I just remembered about him is he was the one who, like, was cracking silly jokes in between every take and then, like, would go back. Like, and being comedy people, it's like you appreciate the person who wants to keep everybody elevated. So I was I was highly impressed with him.
There's a super...
It's nice to see that.
There's a long, like, super clip or whatever you call that on YouTube or somewhere when he did... What was the Tarantino movie with Nazi...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Bastards?
Inglourious Bastards. Where it's however the... Who does the...
The person doing the slate
The
thing.
Slate, yeah.
Sticks.
She would always do... I think she would always say a different name for the letter that she had to say. And there were so many scenes that she would do that in front of Brad Pitt. And it was fun to see him enjoy.
All her different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know why that makes me feel happy.
I don't know. It's nice letters. To know that people who could probably become assholes.
Yeah.
And
I think
mistreat
that's it.
People. Yeah. Yeah. Like he would probably respond or he would deal with someone asking him.
What's good you got going on today?
Yeah. I would hope so. I think, I mean, I love being on set. It never gets old for me.
Yeah.
Like no matter what I'm doing, I'm always like, this is so exciting.
Yeah. We're making a movie.
We're making a movie. You know, there's something, and I hope that never really goes away.
Yeah.
Because there's so much bullshit in this business.
That's what all the annoying work is.
Through that,
You know? And, like, that's your fun time.
Yeah.
To kind of, like, embrace that and, you know, get to play. Like, that's your time to play.
Yeah.
I mean, as an actor.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you can play in the editing room if you're an editor.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't fucking know.
I don't know anything
about that.
Yeah. Ask an editor. I don't know.
Hashtag ask an editor.
What's your fun time?
Is
it cutting out the ums or cutting out the ers? Or
no,
just adjusting levels?
I saw Meryl Streep, but she was in Wardrobe for Lemony Snicket. So I didn't know who it was.
Mm.
So she said hi to me because I was staring. I was like looking at her, but she was on a golf cart, and I was like walking like towards her, and she's like, hi. And then just kind of like winked and smiled at me.
What?
And she kept staring at me, and I was staring at her. And by the time I got close to her enough to say something, and then she pulled away. Once I realized it was Meryl Streep, I was literally just cotton mouth. I didn't know what to say. You're like, what do you say? And I was just like walking, you know, like in on Paramount. It was just like, holy shit.
Yeah, there are some.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. You're Meryl Streep.
Yeah, you're Meryl Streep.
Thank you for existing.
Snacks.
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 Streeps.
Streeps.
Yeah, there are some celebrities that would strike me. I wasn't expecting that with Angelina Jolie, but there are some that meant so much to me that I would love to be cool around, but yeah. I probably wouldn't be.
Unexpectedly seeing Chris Rock did that to me. That was when I lived in St. Louis. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, they were like debuting his movie that he had, that Nelly had something to do with up the street. And
up the street?
Nelly?
Nelly the rapper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was,
you know,
like,
what I thought of as Nell.
Yard?
I was like, what?
What?
I thought Nell.
No. Yeah, no, okay. I didn't expect, I lived in a neighborhood near this indie movie theater that was in the neighborhood that Nelly grew up in, and I walk out my door and I hear all this like yelling and screaming, and I go down, there's this whole red carpet event going on, and then out of nowhere, Chris Rock like jumps out of a car and like jumped over the barrier and was like high-fiving all the crowd, and I just like flipped the, I was literally taking my trash out when I was like, what's all that noise? Let's go see what's happening. And I just started flipping out. I'm like, it's Chris Rock. It's Chris Rock. Oh, my God. I've never reacted like that ever before in my life. Like, you probably just saw this, like, wacky girl in her, like, Sunday grubbies. Like, I dropped the trash by then, but it was, like,
reminds
embarrassing.
Reminds me of when in one of my first real girlfriends, I was about to say professional girlfriends. What I meant was like official was the word that I was thinking of. Professional.
Yeah. The person you paid. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Official girlfriends.
She's worth it.
We went and saw, this was the 80s, so I don't have to apologize for anything. We went and saw Sting at this big theater, like concert venue in San Antonio, which is where I grew up. And Betty, she's a wonderful woman and a fun person, but we were sitting and we were watching Sting and waiting for him to arrive on the stage. The lights go out and the band comes out, starts playing, and then he walks out and she just involuntarily screamed. Like, like it was so... We were
like
not like pumped
scream.
To see this concert.
Yeah,
and we liked him and we thought this was going to be fun and we like his music, but that it was just this involuntary when he just sort of struts on the stage and I just sort of went, oh, all right.
All right.
Did you join in? Did you feel equally moved or no?
Well, I think I just sort of internalized it because I, of course, like he does have presence.
Yeah.
He's very charismatic. And he walks on the stage, and I get excited. I did not join in on screaming, but I understood it.
Yeah.
But it was just such a surprise, involuntary sort of like a reaction to seeing. And I don't think she expected it either. It was just like, wah! There he is!
Oh my God, it's Sting! Sting, Sting, Sting!
Snacks,
snacks, snacks, snacks! Quarters, quarters! Sting!
I feel like live music has an ability to do that to people. Or like,
Yeah.
I went to a concert once with someone who I didn't really know that well, and she screamed the entire concert. And it was really actually inappropriate. And people behind in front of us kept turning around and looking at me, being like,
"What is the most sad?" Like what would be the artist the most inappropriate scream?
She's going, yeah.
I can't think of one right now. Anyway,
no, but she was
Cigarose.
Screaming
the cigarettes.
They can't figure out their timing because of the screaming. Like, this is slow. So she, like, did it make you feel uncomfortable?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, and from one point I turned, I'm like, you need to stop.
Did she have any self-consciousness about it? Wow.
Whoa.
And I was like, you need to stop screaming. I'm like, you're literally ruining this for me, is what I said to her. She kept screaming.
This is a concert pianist.
Yeah.
They're playing.
It was Leonard Bernstein. Chichester Psalms, guys.
Yeah. This is Adagio for strings.
It was something like Sigaros, though. It was something melodic that was like, no, this is not the vibe.
Don't scream at that. You're ruining it for everybody.
Yeah. Lady.
Lady, who I barely know.
I have a friend who will sing along to every song, and she has an okay voice, but it's just sometimes you just want to listen to the song.
Yeah.
Like, we went to see Pitch Perfect together, and I was like, sing quietly.
Yeah, I actually did that once accidentally to the New Pornographers, a band that I absolutely love. I was at a concert, you know, Pappy and Harriet's
out in the Joshua Tree.
Yeah, so it's a tiny place to see a big band. Like, big bands will go, big meaning popular bands will play this tiny little club venue that's outdoors and
in the middle of kind of nowhere.
Yeah, and that's the first time I'd seen them, and I love this band, and I'm with a bunch of friends who love the band, and they started playing, and then all of my friends who were standing in front of me just turned around and were like, hey, could you take it down? Because I was involuntarily... I didn't know. I thought they were loud enough that couldn't hear me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was quiet for the rest of the show.
That kind of breaks my heart, though, because, like, you know, I love that when you're seeing your favorite band.
Yeah.
Sing along.
Oh, yeah. It's just I have a bad sense of when... I can, like, it's like you're talking loud when your headphones are on, which I might be doing right now, I realize.
What?
Yeah.
What's that?
But there's been moments where I've had earbuds on and I go, I need to speak quietly right now. And people will say, keep it down, even though I've compensated because I just, I have a
Maybe you
sense.
Should try earbuds, like, in your ears when you're going through the checkouts and then, like, just speak really loudly so they're like, oh, this guy's entranced and whatever. So they just won't ask anything because they just don't want to make you speak anymore because you're, like, inappropriately loud.
That is really funny to think of strategies to dodge this. Also getting too specific.
Yeah.
Ah, vasectomy. That's what I got going on today. I'm sure I'm not the only one in this Albertsons.
Man.
They're like, snacks. Yeah, it's my last meal.
It's my last meal. 2 months, they say. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it could...
If you believe doctors.
I have a friend who is trying to... His people being inappropriate, like, in questioning things, which you know how hard it is to quit a gym.
Yes.
Yeah, so he was trying to quit his gym because he's going back to Texas because his dad has cancer. And they kept asking. He's like, no, I need to cancel it now. And they're like, why? And he's like, because I'm moving. Oh, why are you moving? Because my dad, like, they just kept asking. And then finally, but then they gave him, like, a huge discount that they would have been charging a fee. So, I mean, maybe it's good they knew. But it's like, yeah, don't feel sorry. Like, it was just.
These moments happen in improv scenes where a choice is made like that.
Yeah.
And we think that, oh, that would never happen. But that people are pushed to say, my dad is dying from cancer.
Yeah.
Because it's the truth.
Yeah.
Because people will not take a hint. Their job. Is to, they were just told in the meeting that morning, you've got to really ask these questions. You really have to
make
find
the person
out.
Question their decision.
Yeah.
You got to engage the customer.
Oh, yes.
This happened just in the last week, and then you told us your wine, and I'm like, oh my God, people being, it happens. Yeah.
And it's not their fault. Like, they're just following instructions. They're trying to make their day a little better, and I get it.
Yeah.
I wish I could find a better.
Maybe just start when people say, what do you got going on? You're like, on my way to the funeral. And
but I also feel like some people who don't work and perform a lot kind of maybe appreciate check-in.
Yeah.
Maybe it makes someone stay.
Maybe it's the first time someone,
I think you're right. Yeah, that's the other, maybe that's, I brought this up at the beginning. Keep in mind, I'm a grumpy person. It doesn't mean that my worldview is the true one.
Right.
It's just that I feel triggered triggered in the smallest way, but, like, violated, I guess, is.
Well, for me, it's more like I have, like, very specific transactions I need to accomplish.
Yeah.
And I just want to accomplish them very quickly.
Yeah.
And it's not my time to sort of, like, make small talk or chat.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I do that a lot, either at the bar or at an audition or when you're working or something.
For podcasts.
Podcasting.
You're talking. Yeah.
You're constantly talking.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I just want to, you know, get my light bulbs. I want to go get my yogurt.
Yes, but, sir, this is a coffee
shop.
You
want to check your...
You don't have light bulbs. You can't have any of these. What do you have going on today?
Unscrew the ones from the ceiling.
Trying to get my chores done in one fell swoop.
Engage them. Give them what they want.
I have 15 minutes. Thank you. Engage them, give them what they want.
Okay. Why are there no light bulbs anymore? Sir.
We are doing what you told us. We're following instructions. I mean, sometimes I just want to check my email in an Uber and they want to know where I'm going. And like, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to a bar. Don't judge me.
That's the other thing with Ubers and Lyfts. That's the whole other venue where this happens.
Oddly enough, like a lot of times when I am, case in point today, like I love when I'm, because I usually will Uber or Lyft to podcast recording because I'm a lightweight and we're drinking. And they're always like, what are you doing? And I like can't wait to tell them about it. I'm like, I'm going to do a podcast. Oh, yeah. This is a bag full of wine. Like,
but I think maybe the rules are, if we are audacious enough to establish rules, that in the Lyft or in a ride thing like that, that it should be up to the customer to begin the engagement. And I'm fine if the driver tests it a little bit and just gets the sense of, all right, like even how are you doing today is enough of engagement for me as a customer to go, thank you for asking. I will give you a very general answer that is not specific, right, that does not invite any or follow-up questions, and that you should take the hint that I don't want to further this conversation. Yeah. And if they miss that, then that's a bummer.
Yeah.
This is going to be a long...
Sometimes I'll do that. Oh, hold on. I just have to like tell the person that I'll be there soon. And I'm like, gotta do the text thing. And then it's like...
And I have to explain it in a huge text.
Taking forever.
I'm a terrible speller, so I'll have to look up things.
And I can't multitask. I cannot talk and text.
Do not ask me.
Time.
Yeah.
Do not ask.
Should we go into lightning
round? Oh, is it lightning round time? Let's do lightning round. Oh.
What is lightning round?
It's a series of questions delivered very quickly about wine or just life.
Our lightning rounds, though, are kind of like very liquid lightning.
Yeah, they're
like lightning in spirit, in soul. But
you start
really
out with a lightning.
Answer as slowly as you want.
Oh, okay, all right.
Take your time.
We'll get into things.
But, you know, it's just some questions.
But I'm the one that's answering.
You're the one answering.
You
okay,
are.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll help you any possible way we can.
What do you want to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
So now I was talking about appellations in Provence, and there's like four.
What is an appellation?
It's like a town.
Okay.
It's a way they're allowed to label, I would say, kind of.
Okay.
How they're what they're allowed to call their wine on the label.
Yeah, but it's also geographically specific.
Right. Got it.
So it's an area.
Yeah.
Which one produces the most wine in Provence?
I don't know this.
I don't know the four appellations.
The answer is also in the question.
Oh, ask it again, please.
What is the name of the largest appellation in Provence? Blah,
Provence.
Blah.
boom, boom, boom.
Appellation.
This is also, they also call this in the southern Rhone. It's above the Rhone.
Côte?
Yes.
Yeah, good one.
And then
Côte de Provence.
This is something that forms when it's really cold in the morning. And like little drops.
Dew?
Yep. So it's...
Côte Dew Provence.
Yes!
It's also like on the bottle.
Yes!
I think this is a Côte de Provence.
It's also on the bottle.
You could have just been like...
Listeners, she has the bottle 2 inches from my face right now.
Just
what is it?
And she's been
what
pointing at it. I'm like, I don't think I need that.
like, no, give me the dew.
Give me the dew.
What are the other appellations? There's the Aix de Provence. There's just Provence AOP.
Bandol, Côte de Provence, Cassis.
Oh, Cassis. Then, I forgot about that one.
The one I'm forgetting.
There's
right
Aix de Provence.
Is Cassis
the
AI? A drink as well?
It is. Right?
It's
a liqueur.
Yeah.
It's like a blackberry flavor.
Okay. We're getting right into my next question,
great,
if you want.
Yeah.
Let's go.
True or false? Cassis, the wine region, is where they make Cassis the liqueur.
Oh, I'm going to say false.
Correct.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with it.
Interesting.
Wait, is that where it's down there? No, Banyuls is down there where they make fortified wine. I'm like, where do they make the fortified wine?
Yeah.
No, Banyuls is more not Provence, though. I'm just trying to think of southern Rance. Southern. No. Okay, I'm talking. So what do they make in Cassis exactly?
Just, rosé and red.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. It's just very confusing because of the liqueur.
I know, right? Because it's spelt exactly the same. You would
is
think.
Provence hugging the southern...
Yeah, it's on the shore.
The Mediterranean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it.
Southeast.
And then right nearby is the Languedoc and the... Roussillon.
Mm-hmm. When somebody says south of France, is it mostly the Provence area?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Maybe southwest France.
Yeah, I mean, like,
usually they're talking about Provence.
Yeah.
That's more like getting into Spain. That's on the border with Spain.
There. Gotcha.
Well, those are all my questions.
He's out.
Just two flashes.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good just your podcast. Yeah,
there was a puff of smoke, and then he left.
So a common tasting note for Provence is garrigue. Do you know what garrigue is?
Ooh, she's saying it all
fancy
too. Common
tasting note is garrigue.
Yeah, this taste of the garrigue of the region. We make these questions hard.
Yeah, they're meant to be.
Like, I wouldn't know this until recently.
I don't know. Garrigue. Is it in that word somewhere?
Can you spell it for him? Maybe that'll help.
G-A-R-R-I-G-U-E. Garrigue.
Garrigue. Poudrigue of the garrigue.
This is a tricky question. It's pretty much just like the essence of the land, which is like scrubby plants and herbs. Like if someone says it has garrigue, it means there's like a bit of a, it's, you can taste
the
thin
earth?
Rocky soil. You can taste the scrubby plants. They grow a lot of herbs around there too, like rosemary and stuff.
Herb de Provence is thing. Yeah.
Ooh.
So garrigue would perhaps have notes of Herb de Provence.
Okay.
I don't taste much garrigue on this wine.
I do not either.
No.
I do not either.
I don't want to.
Said the robot.
I am a wine robot.
Hey, could you pass me some of that lip balm there?
Yep.
Sean was applying some. Perfect.
You guys, I learned this from Brad Pitt. Whenever you're on set, just bring your lip balm and then offer it to everyone around you. Yeah.
Share it with the extras.
Make all the friends.
Yeah.
It's then, not creepy.
Then you own a piece of them in a way.
It just really layers your character as you layer their lip juice on your
ew.
Lip juice. No.
That's what this has a lot of, though.
Yeah.
There's lip
so
juice.
Much lip juice oh. in this wine. I can't even.
A taste of lip juice.
Garrigue.
Is that what it is? Garrigue?
Did I pronounce it wrong? I always said garrigue.
Garrigue, yeah.
Garrigue.
That sounds like the name of your assistant. Garrigue.
Garrigue. Bring me my lip gloss. Bring
Garrigue
me
more
my
lip gloss. Garrigue.
Garrigue.
It's Garrigue.
Garrigue.
For 20 years, you've been saying my name wrong.
God damn it.
I quit. You can't quit. I own you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. You've been sharing this.
Rest.
I own your soul.
Or well.
Do you want to go ask for four?
Chips
do you want to ask
next.
A foury?
Oh, yeah. So there's a wind, a well-known French wind that influences this region. It's a cold northerly wind. Do you know what the name of that wind? It tends to also sort of be, it's either a blessing or a threat because it can be very cold and kill plants, but it can also keep them fresh and free of the molds and the
wine bible.
yes, this is where we get a lot of our facts, is the wine bible. Guys, just stop listening to this, go get the wine bible.
Pick up a book.
I get a lot from the Oxford Companion to wine as well.
Stop looking at the radio.
Stop reading the radio. Read a book.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Something du Nord.
It comes from, no, but that's a good guess. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate your, I see your cooking background when you brought up the Herbe de France.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Mistral, it's called. It also affects Burgundy and the Rhone Valley because it all just kind of blows down through there.
I love learning about that shit. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Just how the environment, the reliable environment, quote unquote, influences, like if wind is awesome.
Yeah, the Mistral is extremely important. If you're going to know one French wind.
Listen, listeners, there's a lot of French winds
there's
out there.
A few.
There's some French winds.
Yeah.
Now I'm blanking on the name of the other major wind that blows like east. West.
Santa Ana?
Yeah, the Santa Anas are
Santa
all
Anna
the way
winds.
In France. I mean, they have the Cape Doctor in South Africa is very important. The Cape Doctor.
Cape
I love
Doctor.
I just love the
just
name of that.
The Doctor, huh?
Yeah. The Cape
Here comes
Doctor.
The Doctor.
Here comes Cape the Doctor.
The Cape Doctor is in.
Yeah. Ooh, KTLA. It's crazy, though, that like just the right amount of wind will save your grapes. Too much will blow
or
them
kill
off.
Them.
Or kill them.
Or if you have to figure the right way to teepee your vines.
So what is it doing besides providing oxygen for the plants? Is it
circulating the air and the moisture?
Yeah,
so
mildew doesn't
stay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you think of like a bunch of grapes, like they're prone to rot because they're all bunched up.
It can also cool down overly hot days.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps temperature regulated.
But if
too.
They don't like train the vines properly, it can knock them over. So, in Santorini in Greece, they train the vines in this crazy like basket shape that the grapes can grow inside because the winds are so strong there. Otherwise, they'll like really kill them.
The vine tamer.
Wow.
Beck. Beck.
Can that be my next nickname?
Yeah.
The vine tamer.
The vine tamer. Anything that involves the whip.
Are you saying wine tamer with a German accent?
The vine tamer. That's what I say. Was that weird?
Why is that
weird? Willkommen.
As a German tradition of vine tanning.
Willkommen to the vine situation.
Do you guys have German wines at Covell, or do you ever drink you both?
Oh, yeah. I love a German.
Love a German wine.
Yeah.
A good Riesling from Germany.
Riesling, Sauvoner, a Gemütersatz.
My first
else?
Wine as a kid at the fancy restaurant in San Antonio, I think it was called PJ's. It was a Gewurztraminer, and I remember, like, I loved it as a kid. I'm like probably like 13 or 14, and I had a.
That seems like a wine that you would at a young age
just embrace immediately and think, I like wine.
And
I remember
a great first wine.
It was my close friend of the family.
I'm so impressed. I'm like, what?
I'm like,
never heard of
Gewurztraminer.
It was like Midori sour. I'll take it.
It was Welch's with gin.
Yes.
But I remember him say, like, it was my close family friend, and we referred to him as Uncle Gary, but he loved that I liked the wine, and he gave me the first description or opinion about it. He said, it's crisp, but not too pretentious. And I never forgot that.
Yes.
Like,
that's what I mean. Just describe most wines you drink that way, and people will be like, oh,
yes,
that must
be
good.
It's crisp, but not too pretentious.
I love it.
Thank God.
Thank you, Uncle.
I hate pretension too much.
The pretension today.
Yeah. How much lip juice does it have, by the way?
Reeks.
I'm getting
I smell
snacks.
The sweat of 1,000 extras. That
delicious.
Was what I meant by saline.
I'll eat that up a flip-flop. And we just have one more question.
Yeah.
What's bringing you some joy, some lightness? Namaste.
Well,
it could be this lovely house as I look around.
This is a great house.
Oh, thank you.
And you have do you play piano?
I am a musician, but I'm not a professional musician, but I do play.
You dabble.
I dabble. I tamper. So this isn't really, I was going to, like, this podcast that we mentioned earlier about the albums that is bringing me, so I'm not a big self-starter. I don't start projects. I'm more like I join projects that somebody else's.
You do have a few co-hosts on Mouth Feelings.
Yes. but the album one is my project, and it's been such a joy to interview people about this thing that means so much to me as well. But the first episode is this Liz Phair's Exile in Guyville. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
And I loved that album when it came out, and I dropped it, never listened to it again, and then re-listening to it has given me so much joy and appreciation for what she did with that one album. Like, she
did so, and so early.
So early.
I know.
Like, how courageous that was. Maybe it wasn't courageous for her. It didn't feel courageous, but because
like
it feels so easy for her.
91, 92, 93.
Yeah. And I wish I would have paid more attention to what she was saying in that, like, lyrically. And it's really strong. So that's been giving me joy.
Go back and listen to this.
Yeah, yeah. Glad to spread that.
Well, on that note,
awesome.
Give a cheers.
Cheers.
Give it up.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for hosting us.
Yeah.
Happy to.
Thank you for drinking with us.
Glad it worked out. It's not because I made them come to me. It's because schedule-wise, it made more sense for it to happen here.
It has
never
been
leaves
wonderful.
His house, guys.
little known. Joel is actually you teach via Skype. You teach your
yes.
I took 401
anyway,
from you. You did Skype it.
Yes, I did Skype it. Anyway, classroom. Back to my curtain in the middle of my room.
Goodbye, Joel.
Like, bye.
See yourself out.
Bye. That was fun, Ellen. I don't know where Joel went.
Thanks for listening. Yay. Musical Talk with Joel.
Joel. Thanks for letting us use your home studio.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Thank you, UCB, though, in general.
Yeah, and just, for giving us everything.
Yeah.
Giving me everything in my life I have now. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. America Comedy, for your lovely song.
Thomas Strachey for the graphic.
Yeah,
wine people at large.
Yeah, Matt, Dustin, Gregory. Everything. Hey guys, make sure you like it and like share it and talk about it.
Yeah, and follow us on the Instas
Instagram,
and the Twits.
The wine situation.
Yeah, can you tell Sean and I are stoned?
Yeah, we just did a podcast where we were stoned.
Yeah.
Aww. So we're doing.
We don't just get drunk. We don't also get high.
Yeah. There's sometimes more to us. For work, you know, for work.
For work, always for work.
Purely legal work that we're engaged in right now. Up next week we have
Zora Beacon Gaga.
I left that one for Ellen to say because I was like, I don't think I can get it out.
Zora Beacon Gaga.
I knew Zora, but Beacon Gaga. Very fun. All right, guys, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
I just drink wine. I don't fuck with IPA. I just drink wine. I don't fuck with Minute Maid. I just drink wine. I don't fuck with Coffee Mate. I just drink wine. Give me red, white, or rosé. Don't touch me, motherfucker. I'm a sommelier.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.